Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for March the 26th, 2018. Today is Monday in Holy Week. This is a reading from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Here ends the reading. For the next several days, today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, these reflections that I offer will be drawn from the gospel appointed for the celebration of the Eucharist. We're going to have a Holy Monday Eucharist here in a bit at Trinity Church, and this will be the gospel that will be read. There is elsewhere in the gospels a different telling of this story of a woman who attends to Jesus' feet. In that other telling, the woman is unnamed. But John names the woman as Mary, sister of Lazarus, Jesus' friend, whom he has raised from the dead. And in fact, this little vignette of Jesus having dinner at Lazarus and his sisters Martha and Mary's house takes place just after, in John's gospel, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. It's quite a dramatic scene. Mary takes this costly perfume and anoints Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair. It's an intimate sort of action. The air is filled with the smell of the perfume. I don't know exactly what nard smells like, but I can imagine what it is to have something that is so heavily scented that it just takes over the room. I'm thinking about the way Easter lilies just occupy a space with their smells. Anyway, Judas, who John helpfully, the gospel writer, helpfully identifies as the one about to betray Jesus, Judas queries, why couldn't this perfume been sold and the money given to the poor? And then the gospel writer gives us another bit of editorial. He wasn't really concerned about the poor. He just wanted to know why he couldn't have the money to steal. At any rate, there is an amazing exchange. And Jesus gives that line, "The poor you always have with you, but you don't always have me." I do not believe that that's Jesus saying we shouldn't be attendant to the poor, or that Jesus is simply naming a fact that there will always be poor people. I think rather he is drawing a distinction between an act of worship and an act of service. In Mary's action, she is worshiping Jesus. She is worshiping him with the best that she has. The poor certainly need to be served, but God needs to be worshiped. And it is out of the worship of God that we receive the strength and sustenance to serve the poor. That said, I'm also fascinated with the juxtaposition of this story from John in John chapter 12, of Mary attending to Jesus' feet, and the story that we will read on Maundy Thursday, where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. the person who has received this great ministry from Mary is the same person who ministers to his friends on the night before he dies. There's something about our culture, and I usually say some version of this on Maundy Thursday, there's something about our culture that is averse to feet. Feet are some of the things that, parts of our body that we are most prone to keep ensconced in something, whether socks or shoes. And in fact, most people in the Episcopal Church are a little bit reticent to participate in foot washing on Maundy Thursday evening because it feels just a bit too intimate to touch someone else's feet or to have our own feet touched by strangers. And so this picture of Mary, a woman kneeling at the feet of Jesus, a non-relative male, and presuming to touch his feet, is a picture of intimacy. And I wonder if in our own day and time, we haven't substituted a worship of Jesus with an intimacy with Jesus. Maybe we are a little scared of being too open to Jesus. It's a little scary to invite Jesus, however it is that we imagine who Jesus is now, to invite Jesus into the depths of our being. That feels a little too personal. Better to keep Jesus back there in history, or out there in eternity, or up there in heaven, than to have Jesus within us, in our heart and soul. Better to serve the world in Jesus' name than to minister intimately to Jesus and have Jesus minister intimately to us. Maybe that's what Holy Week opens up for us, the opportunity to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to allow ourselves to be vulnerable to God, to the message of Holy Week, to the ministry of Jesus in our lives, to each other as fellow Christians, to be vulnerable to those places where we have hardened our hearts. Maybe we've hardened our hearts against people with whom we disagree politically, or people we don't trust, or people who have hurt us. Maybe we've hardened our hearts against people who are different than us. Maybe our hearts need to be broken like that container of nard. What would it be like if we poured ourselves out this week in an act of worship to Jesus and for Jesus? What would it be like if we allowed ourselves to be spent in the worship of Jesus? We might just find that in worshiping Him, we will be renewed, restored, strengthened, and empowered to work for Him in the world, to serve the world in His name. May you have a blessed Holy Week, a blessed Holy Monday, and I'll see you again tomorrow. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first He suffered pain, and entered not into glory before He was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.